Why does the world laugh at Christians? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Do you know why the world laughs at Christians? I'll tell you why. Ridicule is a substitute for reason. Laughing is a substitute for logic. Now, if they cannot reason us out of a work for God, they will try to ridicule us out of a work for God. If they cannot logic us out of a work for God, they will try to laugh us out of a work for God.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. Beloved pastor and acclaimed Bible teacher Adrian Rogers once said, "Did you know that there are men who can face a den of lions who will fall and wither under ridicule?" The book of Nehemiah tells the story of Nehemiah's return to his homeland to rebuild the fallen walls of Jerusalem. In chapter 4, he and his team faced criticism for their work. Ridicule is one of the hardest things we'll face as believers. The world doesn't believe that we can do what we've been commissioned and empowered to do by Jesus. When ridiculed, we ought to remember three things that Nehemiah did. If you have your Bible, turn now to Nehemiah chapter 4, as Adrian Rogers shows us what to do when reacting to ridicule.
Take your Bibles now in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we will read together the first six verses of Nehemiah chapter 4. Now remember that Nehemiah is God's man. He's going back to his homeland, back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, to help the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that are in disgrace and disrepair. And we read here in chapter 4, verse 1, "But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, and I can just see old Tobiah popping his knee as he says it, "Ha! Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." And then Nehemiah speaks, and he says, "Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." We're speaking today on this subject, reacting to ridicule. Now, the devil wants to stop any work for God. And when God's people say, "Let us arise and build," all the host of hell say, "Let us arise and stop them." And you would be perhaps amazed to know that one of Satan's chief tools is ridicule. Now, you think that ridicule is something we can just toss off. But let me tell you something, folks. Ridicule is one of the hardest things you'll ever face as a Christian. Did you know that? Did you know that there are men who can face a den of lions who will fall and wither under ridicule? They really will. I remember as a young Christian myself that it was so hard for me when people would laugh at me for being a Christian. I worked my way through college, and one of the things that I did was to work in the summertime at construction jobs. And I tried to witness to those men there that I'd work with. They found out I was a Christian, and furthermore, they found out God had called me to preach. And you talk about having to take a ribbing and a ragging. And they would tell dirty jokes and cut their eyes over at me to see if I was laughing, or they would blaspheme God, and they'd say something horrible or terrible about the Bible, or sometimes bring some old filthy pictures, you know, and try to pass them around, and all of these things, and just ridicule and scorn and ridicule. And I want to tell you something, folks, I love the Lord, but it was hard to take. Some of you wives, you're a Christian and you're married to an unsaved husband, and he ridicules your faith, and that's probably the hardest persecution that you ever face. It's what that husband does to you. Some of you guys in college, and your professor ridicules your faith, and there he is with an earned degree, and he's the professor up there, and he's mocking and making fun of you. Sometimes these professors have a way of ferreting out those who are Christians, and they mock them. Some of you businessmen, when you go out and you won't go out with the ladies, and you won't drink, and you won't gamble, and you won't do these other things, they do. And what do to get even? They point the finger of scorn at you, and they ridicule you, and they laugh at you. What a powerful weapon ridicule is. And I'm going to tell you something else. Any true Christian is going to face some ridicule. And if you're not facing ridicule, don't get too proud. The servant's not better than his master. And if they ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to ridicule you. Why did they ridicule in this day? Look here in Nehemiah chapter 4. I want you to notice the nature of the ridicule. The first thing they ridicule was the feebleness of God's people. Notice in verse 2, "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews?" And so they ridicule the feebleness of God's people. And folks, really, we are a feeble people if you look at it according to the world standards. When the world measures things by numbers, by size, by prestige, by finances, and so forth. And here is old Sanballat said, ha, look at them, feeble people, feeble people. But don't you make a mistake, dear friend, if you're one of those who's laughing. Don't you measure Christianity by the size of the people. The Bible says God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. And not many mighty, not many noble are called. But we're laughed at sometimes because of our feebleness. And then sometimes, not only did they laugh at them because of their feebleness, but they laughed at them because of the futility of the task. Look at it again. It says here in verse 2, "Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish that are burned?" That is, they'll never do what they say that they're going to do. It just can't be done. I've got a secret, folks. It may look like we have a futile task, but we're going to win. Just mark it down. We're going to win. We cannot lose. We must prevail. Woodrow Wilson said, "I had rather temporarily lose with a cause that must ultimately succeed than temporarily succeed with a cause that must ultimately fail." We will win. And so they mocked. Oh, they mocked their feebleness. They mocked their futility. And they also mocked the foolishness of their faith. Look again in verse 2. It says, "Will they sacrifice?" Now he's mocking their religion. He's mocking their very faith. And people mock our very faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Oh, they laugh at the things I preach, the high muckety mucks. They hear us preaching about a crucified Christ and our dear Savior, and they laugh. Oh, and then they laughed at the frailty of their work. Look again in verse 3. "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." That is, a little old fox crawling over their stone wall is going to break it down. That is, it's not going to last. And again, the world mocks and laughs. That's what the world says. It won't last. And they mock us. One of the things I remember perhaps more than anything else out of my youth, after God called me to preach as a young boy, and I didn't come from a household of preachers. My dad was not a preacher. My dad and I were saved the same night. I didn't come from a particularly religious, baptistic type of family. But God reached down and God called me to preach. And I told my folks and everybody I knew that God had called me to preach. And I remember being one time in my bedroom, and my father had a friend of our family's. They were sitting out there on the patio talking. This was a man that I admired and respected very much. And this man said to my father, "What's Adrian going to do when he gets out of high school?" And my dad said, "Well, he wants to go off to college and study to be a preacher." And that man just laughed. And he said, "He won't make it. He'll never stick it out. He'll quit." That went into my heart like a poison arrow. I almost felt like crying. "He won't make it." And they just laughed. My dad didn't laugh, but this man laughed. You know, friends, that hurts. That's what the world says. You know, they won't stick it out. They won't make it. And so they mocked. What did they mock? They mocked the feebleness of the people. They mocked the futility of the task. They mocked the foolishness of their faith. They mocked the frailty of their work. You see, the devil hasn't changed his tactics. Not at all. He's still mocking. He's still laughing. And you, if you do a work for God, you might as well get ready. You're going to face some ridicule. Now, there are three things that Nehemiah did that you need to do in your reaction to ridicule. First of all, a practical consideration. Notice in verse 4, "Hear, O God, for we are despised." Now you might as well put it down, friend. Christians are despised. Just consider it with me for a moment. And when you are despised, and when you are mocked, just consider several things. First of all, I want you to consider the cause of the ridicule. Do you know why the world laughs at Christians? I'll tell you why. Ridicule is a substitute for reason. Laughing is a substitute for logic. Now, if they cannot reason us out of a work for God, they will try to ridicule us out of a work for God. If they cannot logic us out of a work for God, They will try to laugh us out of a work for God. But not only consider the cause of it, consider the character of those who do the ridiculing. You see, folks, we are known not only by the friends that we make, we're also known by the enemies that we make. There would be something wrong with me if some people were not laughing at me. There is something wrong with you if some people are not laughing at you. Do you remember there in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, where those disciples had been persecuted, and the Bible says they departed from the presence of the council and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You say, well, Brother Rogers, nobody ever laughs at me. Well, then keep it a secret, will you? You haven't been counted worthy. There's not enough in your life to make any difference. I'm looking into the face of some medical men and some businessmen today and some lawyers. And I want to tell you there's no way that you can live for Jesus Christ in your profession without some of your compatriots and your peers looking down on you and laughing at you. I'm looking in the face of some college students. There is no way that you can live a separated, godly, righteous life, carry your Bible to class, bow your head in the cafeteria and pray without somebody pointing the finger of scorn at you. There is no way that you can take a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. No way on this green earth without somebody laughing at you. And if they don't laugh at you, it's just simply because you've not been counted worthy. You just consider those who do it. They're the enemies of our Lord and of our Christ. And you might as well put it down and put it down big that when you go for God, you're going to face the godless gang and the Christless clique. All right, I want you to consider something else, not only the cause of it and the character of those who do it, but I want you to consider the company that you are in, the company that you're in. You see, Jesus was also scorned, and the servant is not better than his master. Let me give you some verses today that ought to break your heart and encourage you at the same time. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus Christ is getting ready to perform one of his most notable miracles. Every time I read this, I can hardly believe that it literally happened, but I know it did because it's in the Bible. In Mark chapter 5, verse 40, this is talking about the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, truth incarnate. And notice what it says here in Mark 5, verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. Who? Jesus. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed in the face of the Son of God. They laughed him to scorn. Turn to Luke chapter 22. And look at our Lord Jesus Christ there at the hands of those soldiers. In Luke chapter 22, I read in verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And I believe with all of my heart that it was easier for Jesus to take the fisticuffs and easier for him to take the clubs that beat upon his head than it was that laughter and that ridicule in his face. They mocked him and they smote him. I want you to look in Luke chapter 23 for a moment. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ hanging in agony and blood upon the cross. And look in verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be the Christ, the Son of God. Do you know what that word derided means? It means they ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They scorned him. Look in verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Oh, what a field day they had. How they laughed. How they scorned him. Friend, if Jesus Christ was laughed at upon the cross, surely you're going to be laughed at if you live for God. Don't you let the devil laugh you out of a work for God. It's one of his chief tools. How do you react to ridicule? Listen, you consider the cause of it. You consider the character of those who do it. You consider the company that you're in when you're laughed at. You're with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you also to consider the compensation that you're going to get for being laughed at. The Lord's going to pay you. Don't you worry about it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, that when men will persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake, just rejoice and be exceeding glad. If people laugh at you all day, you go home and laugh all night. You just rejoice and be exceeding glad. There's something else I want you to notice. Not only the compensation, because he says, great is your reward in heaven. But the next thing I want you to notice is the conclusion of the whole matter. You know what we say? He who laughs last. He who laughs last has the best laugh. Who's going to have the last laugh? You say the church. No, God himself. God himself. You can laugh your way right into hell, but you can't laugh your way out. I'm going to tell you something else. It is God, not man, that'll have the last laugh. I want you to look here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. This is God speaking. And God says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. God says, now it's my turn to laugh. This is not the laugh of some fiend who's getting even. This is one of the cases in the Bible of the irony of the wrath of God. Thomas Paine, the old skeptic and infidel, asked Benjamin Franklin, Ben, what do you think of my book? The Age of Reason was a book that ridiculed the Christian faith. You know what Ben Franklin said to Tom Paine? He says, Tom, when a man spits against the wind, he spits in his own face. Agathon was a young Roman. He had a boyhood friend named Julian. And Agathon and Julian grew up together and they played together. But Julian grew up to be the emperor of Rome. He was known as the apostate emperor. And he was cruel. And he hated Christ and he hated Christians. And he did all he could do to put down Christianity. One day, after both men were grown, Julian met Agathon. And Julian, trying to taunt Agathon for his fate, said to Agathon, Agathon, how is the carpenter of Nazareth doing these days? Is he getting plenty of work? Is there enough work for your carpenter to keep him busy? Agathon said, yes, Julian, the carpenter is getting plenty of work. And today he's nailing together a coffin to put your empire in. He served to be a prophet. For in 2 years, Julian was slain by the Persians and his empire was crumbling. I want to tell you, it is God who will get the last laugh. You just consider the conclusion of the whole thing. Now, whenever you're ridiculed, just consider some things. Just consider some things. Why you're being ridiculed, who's doing the ridiculing, who along with you is being ridiculed, what is God going to pay you for being ridiculed, and what is the conclusion of the whole matter? And don't you let anybody laugh you out of a work for God. Now the second thing, not only is there to be some consideration, some practical consideration, but some prayerful supplication. Look again here in Nehemiah chapter 4 and begin in verse 4. Here's what old Nehemiah does. He says, hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now, this is a prayer not for personal recrimination against them. He's just saying, God, it is you that they've dishonored, and God, you're the righteous judge. And God, you get glory to your name. Lord, they have provoked you to anger. When they are despising us, Lord, when they're laughing at us, Lord, they're laughing at you. And I want you to notice what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah did not get into a name-calling contest with them. He didn't do it. And don't you do it. A bulldog can whip a skunk, but it's not worth it. Nehemiah just simply told God on them. He just told God about it. Here they are laughing. Here they are mocking. Here they are scoffing. Here they are ridiculing. And you know what Nehemiah says? He says, hear it, O God. God, you listen. And God, you take action. And he will. I want you to jot this verse down in the margin. Proverbs 3, verse 34. Surely he, God, scoffeth at the scoffers, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. It is God who scoffs at the scoffers. And then I want you to put right under that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what it says. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Isn't that great? Oh, Peter surely was impressed by the way the Lord Jesus reacted to ridicule. When he reviled not again, and he threatened not. He just told God on him. Hear, O Lord. That's what we need to do, folks. Just carry it to God in prayer and tell the Lord about it. Now, I want to say some more about that, but I better not. All right, let's go on to the third thing. The third thing, and see if we can finish this message on time. Not only should there be some practical consideration, and not only should there be some prayerful supplication, but if I may use the word, there needs to be some physical perspiration. That's the third thing that he did. I want you to notice here in verse 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I like that. Not that they had a mind to cry, or a mind to criticize, or a mind to gossip, or a mind to... They had a mind to work. And in spite of all of the threats of the enemy, in spite of all of the ridicule and all of the scorn, they just started to do what God had called them to do. Folks, listen. We're not saved by work. We're saved by the grace of God. You know that, don't you? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by works. Good works can't save us. Salvation is in the mercy of God, not in the merit of man. It's in the grace of God, not in the goodness of man. Salvation is not a prize that you receive at the end of the race. It's a gift that enables you to run the race. You see, the minute I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment God saves me. Isn't that wonderful? It's not of works. I cannot work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. Won't you? There's no cheap way. There's no easy way. There's no lazy way to do a work for God. The people had a mind to work. My heart almost jumps out of my throat as I look at all of you folks and say, oh God, what would happen if everyone had a mind to work and a heart to pray as old Nehemiah did? The people had a mind to work.
Do you have a heart to pray as Nehemiah did? A mind to work and accomplish the things God has called you to? Perhaps you have questions about your faith today. We'd love to invite you to check out our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials that can answer questions you might have about your faith. You can also leave a prayer request right there as well. Go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's lesson on CD, mention the title Reacting to Ridicule when you call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. This message is also part of a powerful series, Turning Problems into Possibilities. For the complete collection featuring 8 insightful messages, call us to order at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or go online at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. If you face ridicule for your faith in Jesus, remember to practically consider it, prayerfully speak your concern to God, and get to work. Thanks for joining us today for this insightful message, and tune in next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. Not long ago, a listener reached out to share a kind note of encouragement. I want to read it to you now. This message was so comforting to me. Today, as I face the many problems ahead, I know that my Savior loves and cares for me and will provide for me. Thank you. You know, it's our great honor to share these profound messages, and we do not know what you're going through, but God does. We hope that you will listen and then overcome whatever obstacle you're facing today. This month, as a thank you for your generous support, we want to send you the Overcomers Booklet Collection. This bundle includes popular booklets from Adrian Rogers, such as Christ of Every Crisis, The Shepherd's Answer to Stress, and Praying Power. Sometimes life can be difficult. We want to equip you to overcome the challenges you face in a God-honoring way. Request this bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.